the way you work it.
No diggity.
I got to bag it up.
She's got class and style. She knowledge by the time. Baby never act wild. Very low key on the profile. Catching feelings is a no. Let me tell you how it goes. Curves the word, spins the verb. Lovers hit curves so freak. What you heard? Rolling with the fatness. You don't even know what the half is. You got to pay to play. Just for shorty bang bang to look your way. I like the way you're working. Trump tight all day, every day. You're blowing my mind, maybe in time. Baby, I can get you in my ride.
I like the way you're working.
No diggity.
I got to bag it up.
Bag it up.
I like the way you're working.
No diggity.
I got to bag it up.
Oh,
I like the way you're working.
No diggity.
I got to bag it up.
Bag it up, babe.
I like the way you're working.
From New York City to Black Street. What you know about me? Now don't be up for the thing. Cartier wooded frame sported by my shorty. As for me, icy gleaming pinky diamond ring. We bees to buy this click up on this scene. Ain't you getting bored with these fake boards? High shows and proves, no doubt. I've been thinking so. Please excuse if I come across rude. That's just me. And that's how a play it's got to be. Stay kicking game with a capital G. Ask the peoples on my block. I'm as real as can be. Word is born. Faking moves never been my thing. So Teddy, pass the word to your and Chauncey. I'll be sending a call, let's say around 3:30. Queen Pen
no
and Black
diggity, no doubt, baby.
I like the way you work it.
No diggity,
I got the bag.
Girl, you got it going on.
I like the way you work it.
Good morning, good morning. You're listening to Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR Vancouver's community radio station. I'm your host, Issa Arian. You're listening to Off the Beaten Path. We're broadcasting from the unceded Coast Salish and Musqueam territory, deep in the woods here from UBC's campus. And for the next hour, I'll be taking you down my path. We do this here every week. Thursday, 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. Thank you in advance for tuning in. If you'd like to call, the number is 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. If this is your first time listening, what I like to do here is take you down my path, introduce you to some interesting topics, a little bit of local news, some North American news, some global news. We'd like to get into some funny stories. This week is a lot has been going on this week. It's pretty interesting, yeah. So, but sometimes I interview some interesting people, some industry leaders. Sometimes there's some really, really smart people. It's 7 a.m. So if I can convince a friend to come hang out here in the studio, sometimes I do that. But it's Thursday, March 30th. Sometimes I have to do the knuckle thing to figure out which month has 31 days. January, February, March. March is 31, so be sure. Wait a minute. No, March is 30. Anyways, tomorrow's the 1st. Get your affairs in order, like your rent. You know, we like to start off here with the weather. And last Thursday, it said that the next 10 days would be rain, and that turned out to be not so true, because tomorrow will be only mostly cloudy, no showers. On Saturday, it's just a.m. showers. With a high of 12. So it's shaping up to be a pretty good weekend. Sunday is just mostly sunny, actually. So if you've been missing the sun for the last 15 days like I have, it peaked out a little bit yesterday, but you can catch it on Sunday. And it won't start raining again until Wednesday, and then you'll have to wait another week to see any relief. I read somewhere that we're going to supposed to get 88 centimeters of rain. That seems like a lot. But we'll see how it goes. Yeah, so today actually is a jam-packed show. I think that it's pretty much like a timeless show, you know. It's one of those shows that really shows how far we've come as a civilization, as a society, as a group, a tribe. We're going to get into that after we listen to a few advertisements. But I promise you, you're not going to want to miss it because I want you to think about where you were 10 years ago and how your life could have changed.
Go to a party with me?
No, the game's on.
Oh, I almost forgot. I'll be right there.
We like sports and we don't care who knows. From shooting hoops to the Super Bowl.
Do you like sports and don't care who knows? Then CITR Sports needs you. If you like sports, are into radio, or generally just want to have a great time, then come join us. Email our sports coordinator at sports101@citr.ca to find out more, or come by the station in the new sub. See you soon.
Watch, cause I'm the man.
Become a CITR member and make some new friends. Members get discounts on Main Street at
Hot Art Wet City, Antisocial Skateboard Shop, East Vanity Parlor, The Wallflower Modern Diner, RX Comics, Dandelion Records and Emporium, The Rag Machine, Neptune Records, The Regional Assembly of Text, Devil May Wear, Lucky's Comics, Book Warehouse, On the French Hair Design, Red Cat Records, Woo Vintage Clothing, True Value Vintage and I Found Gallery, and the Biltmore Cabaret.
What would we do without our friends?
Shit seen to get real when a nigga get broke, but when I got money, everybody smokes. Shit seen to get real when a nigga get broke, but when I got money, everybody smokes. Shit seen to get real when a nigga get broke, but when I got money, everybody smokes. Shit seen to get real when a nigga get broke, but when I got money, everybody smoke. Who you? Who me? Who? Nah, nigga, what I look like? Nah, I got money. Nah, everything cool. Nah, nigga, what I look like? Who you? Who me? Who?
You better get off the beaten path. I'm your host, Issa Arian, here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. And so if you listened before the break, you'd know that, listen, I wanted you to close your eyes and imagine where you were at 10 years ago, 2007, March. I know I was getting, I think I was patiently waiting for these college letters to come in. I had a really good idea where I was going as my mom dropped me off on Court Street on a Saturday. Little did she know that my life was about to get ruined. When I mean ruined, I mean it was really one of the greatest things that ever happened to me. And when I got home that day, you know, and got back to some broadband internet, you know, it was released. I didn't even know who this woman was, but I knew who Ray J was. He was Brandy's brother, and I really think that that's all that I knew about him. I mean, he had that, like, he had a few songs. But if you didn't know, 10 years ago this month, it was the Ray J and Kim Kardashian sex tape that was, it says leaked, but it was really sold and distributed. So I was reading about it, and now there's some things that I learned. Like, one, like, they got over $5 million for that. I'm like, wow, man. $5 million for a sex tape, that seems like a pretty good deal in a capitalistic society. But, like, Kim Kardashian wasn't famous at that time. She was just, like, hanging out with famous people. And so it got me to thinking about, like, how much has that changed? Not just how much has it changed with like in regards to sex tapes. But how much has it changed regardless of like how we see celebrities, and then how we look at like exhibitionist things like that today? And I feel like it changed a lot. One, like how we look at celebrities, like wow, man, like Kim Kardashian wasn't a celebrity before that. You at that time you would have said Ray J was bigger, particularly because his sister. And I mean, Ray J had a few songs, I guess, on TRL. I wish I knew what the names of them. I remember One Wish. That's about it. But when the sex tape came out, Ray J thought he was the one that his career was going to skyrocket. You know, as thought it would put him in a different stratosphere or a different fan demographic. When it did neither, but it made Kim Kardashian really famous. And the way we look at celebrities is, I'm not sure, maybe, you know, as an 18-year-old or 17-year-old at that time when it came out, and, you know, thinking about, like, when I thought of celebrities, I thought of these just extraordinary individuals who had an extraordinary amount of talent that was the reason why they were in the forefront. But what we saw was that now looking good is good enough. And you look at the evolution of that today, you can see, like, look how many people are famous on Instagram just for showing pictures of some skin. It's pretty crazy that in 2007 it really started having a big butt could potentially make you famous and really, really rich. But then I thought about it in the way the embarrassment, or I guess the pseudo embarrassment, or how we think about sex tapes, or, you know, pictures in general, or leaks. Because I think it was just a few years later that someone released that footage of Erin Andrews when she was in her hotel room, which was taken illegally. And between, I think, as the rise of the internet era, and you look at consensual and non-consensual videotaping, and the way that the internet allowed us to distribute it really, really fast, you know, I really think that it changed, because I feel like that there's something on the cloud that is embarrassing enough for everybody. And like the leaks when Jennifer Lawrence and like those other celebrities were hacked, and their pictures were shared, I feel like it really humanized them. And so we have like this level of sympathy for these celebrities that I feel like we never had since then, because everybody knows that, listen, we're just one hack away from seeing something that nobody wants to see, because I know that literally almost everybody, I'm pretty sure, like, if you include, like, you know, we know that the type of data that the internet collects, and we're going to get into that a little later about how the United States Congress just rolled back a little bit of privacy protections. But if you know that you're not really protected, I mean, people still put the tape up on their laptop so that they know. I don't actually know what that does, or I don't know if it does anything. I don't do it because I feel like, you know what, if you want to look at me when I'm looking at my computer and looking at some of my facial expressions, because, I mean, if you want to look at anything, you know, that's on you. And, you know, I guess if you really want to work that hard, then good for you. But I really feel that since 2007, since this was released, it's really changed just the way we looked at celebrities in general. And while I was thinking about this, I came across a story of Justin Trudeau. And this has nothing to do with a sex tape, so if you are a man or a woman or a man out there who might find interest in a Justin Trudeau sex tape, I'm sorry to disappoint. There is none. However, I did find a video of him boxing in a charity match, and it really got me thinking about which politicians I would like to see fight in a charity match. I would say my main event has got to be the current First Lady, Melania Trump, versus Michelle Obama. Because I don't know why I would like to see Melania Trump fight Michelle Obama, when I think it would be a unilaterally a beatdown, I think Michelle Obama is taking that. I feel like Michelle Obama already takes boxing classes. I just don't see her letting that. I just don't see her losing. But then I thought about all of the other individuals I like to see fight. I was thinking about maybe Putin versus Arnold Schwarzenegger. Like, I wonder, that's like a world-class battle. You know, like, would Americans get behind Arnold Schwarzenegger and be like, you know, he's one of us now? Because he's from over there. I'm not exactly sure where Arnold Schwarzenegger's from, but I know he's from pretty close. And if I didn't see that picture of Putin on a bear, which I know is fake, or riding a horse shirtless, I'm like, okay, I'm automatically giving that to Arnold Schwarzenegger because he's Mr. Universe, and I've seen that dude in movies like The Terminator. But do we really know if Arnold Schwarzenegger can fight? I'm not so sure. I feel like Arnold Schwarzenegger might need to tag in Jesse Ventura to wrangle Putin, because I feel like I saw Putin in a gi, so I feel like he does jiu-jitsu or something like that. I would like to see Trump versus Manny Pacquiao. See, like, and I know we're not going to get anything that we want because we know Manny Pacquiao is, he's not opposing Trump on every he's not opposing Trump on every single issue that we might. So it's not, you're not going to get the different ideologies banging up against each other, but you will get some interesting. When I mean interesting, I mean you'll get Pacquiao, like a 130-pound man, fighting Donald Trump. I think Donald Trump's over 6 foot, and he's definitely over 200 pounds. So you'll just get this little man beating up this big man, and that's something we can laugh at because we can always laugh at the punch up, and there'll be a lot of uppercuts because Manny Pacquiao is short. And listen, if Manny Pacquiao listens to the show. Listen, when I say you're short, it's not an insult. I don't want to see you come over here because I'll be embarrassed if I get beat up by a 135-pound man. I don't care if that man is Manny Pacquiao. I don't know if my ego can handle that. So, Manny Pacquiao, if you're listening, just give me a pass. If there's any celebrities that you'd like to see, if there's any politicians that you'd like to see, and get in the boxing ring, for a fundraiser for a great cause, of course, call in at 604-822-CITR, 604-822-2487, or you can send me a Facebook message, or you can tweet me, or you can text me if you have my number, and I will talk about who exactly the listeners would like to see fight. When we come back, we're going to be talking about how I think governments waste a lot of money, but not in the way that you think. This one has to do with a heist from Germany. You won't want to miss it. We'll be right back.
Dance Horizons provides affordable classes and encourages students to get involved with the community to develop as dancers.
Our classes are open to all skill levels, with styles ranging from hip-hop to ballet, and are taught by professional instructors.
We're running some exciting events in the next week.
Our dancers will be visiting Harbor Dance Center and are putting on a show on campus on December 3rd. If you want to see us dance to this song, visit UBC Dance Horizons on YouTube.
Hi everyone, we're from the UBC Food Society.
Yummy!
And we're the only food club at UBC.
were about feeding students, but also teaching them how to feed themselves. Through our restaurant outings and cooking workshops, we hope to expose you guys to the diversity of cultures, flavors, and food communities Vancouver has to offer.
So if you want to get involved, email us at foodsociety@gmail.com or check up on our website at www.ams.ubc.ca/clubs/foodsociety, or you can even join our Facebook group.
Can't survive without you, losing my mind without you. I just can't find another you. I'm only trying to keep my cool, 'cause it's the best time of the year. I'm usually smiling ear to ear, but these gifts just don't mean a thing. The holidays just won't be the same. I don't want a card and a letter. Pack your bags, grab your gloves off the dresser. You don't gotta leave, you can stay here forever. Long as we can celebrate the holidays together.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path. I'm your host, Issa Arian, on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. You know, we like to bring you some Canadian music, musical content. That was Ombre with The Coldest Winter. So before the break, talk to you about how the government wastes money. So if you have been watching the news or any type of global news channel, BBC, CNN, you'll know that a 200-pound, it's like 99.9999% pure gold coin was taken from a Berlin mint. Now, when I was reading it, I found out that, oh, this is not only is this interesting news, but this is Canadian news as well, because the coin was minted in 2007. See, 2007 was a good year. It was a great year. So 2007, and it was minted at the Canadian Royal Mint. There were six coins of 200-pound solid gold coins. They call it the Big Maple Leaf. It's got the Queen on one side and Maple Leaf on the other. And five were sold for $1 million, and they appraised now for about $4 million. And then one was given to the Berlin government, I guess, on a trip. And so the coin was stolen last night, and the only evidence they have is that there were ladders. There's a ladder near some train tracks. Now, I guess that's just all of the information that they want to share, or maybe that's all the information that they have. But I feel like if a ladder next to some train tracks was all you needed to steal this 200-pound coin, I'm surprised nobody thought about doing this sooner. Or the other five that were sold to private investors. I'm like, man, how ballin' do you have to be for you to just be like, I'm going to buy a 200-pound solid gold coin for no reason. I imagine that if you can spend that much money for a 200-pound solid gold coin, you can never lift it up. And even if you did lift it up, imagine if you dropped it, it's solid gold. Everybody knows that gold is soft, you know? So, like, if you drop it and it dents, is it still worth? I don't know. And then I thought about, this coin was stolen from the German mint, but, like, we know how Canada got 1,000 pounds of gold. It was stolen from somebody else first. So I actually don't feel too bad about the coin. I don't actually care if they get it back or not. I just thought it was interesting that this is the type of stuff that I feel we never think about when we think about a governmental budgetary process. So last week we talked about the $18 billion deficit that the Canadian government is running this year, and it's the same as they ran last year, and how they were trying to find ways to close the deficit, and they really hadn't come up with any good things. So I suggested that they legalize marijuana, and we'll actually get to that later in the show, because I guess Mr. Trudeau listens to my show, because there will be an announcement. However, so we were talking about ways that the Canadian government can reduce the deficit, and I just never thought about government spending money this way. Like, who did they contract out to design the coin, and where did they get the gold from, and who built the press that pressed this coin, and how much did it cost to press this coin? You know, because when you think about giving away a 200-pound solid gold coin, or six of them for that matter, you have to understand that so much goes into that, not just the idea that we're wasting this gold and we're giving it away, or the resources or the energy that people are putting in there. You know, someone had to design it, and someone had to secure the gold and keep the gold safe, so nobody like took any of the nuggets. And then not only when they keep the gold safe, there's so much stuff that has to go into making this damn 200-pound gold coin that I feel people should be more angry about than actual finding the coin, because regular people like me and you would never see shit like that. Oh, excuse me, never see stuff like that. Getting into, I guess, more exciting news that I led with. So Canada Day 2018, my friends, if you'd like to come visit, I feel like it will be a day, and like I want to say lit, because like I feel like there's really no other way to describe what the day will feel like. However, I know that I feel like that word is pretty dead, So, but I'm going to say it for one last time. It will be lit. Canada Day 2018. If you don't know Canada Day, it's July 1st, right before July 4th. So you can actually make two national holidays in two different countries. But the first one, the Canadian government proposed they legalize marijuana that day federally, and they'll let the provinces handle the rules. The details haven't come out. This is according to the CBC. The Liberal Party, they campaigned on marijuana legalization, and we've continued to see raids. We saw a raid here at Cannabis Culture a few weeks ago. They raided all the cannabis cultures in Canada, so the ones in Toronto, I think there's a few in the prairies, and they raided the ones out here. And so the Liberal government campaigned on legalizing marijuana, and it just felt like not only had it taken a long time for them to have any action, they just kept putting it off and not saying really much of anything. What has happened is they said they're putting up a group together to draw up plans of legalization, and their plan is to legalize by Canada Day, July 1st, 2018. So, my American friends, if you'd like to come up to celebrate this great day of Canadian independence and a new dawn, and you can celebrate me having the foresight to see what can fix the Canadian budget, and we can applaud the Prime Minister for listening to my show. He's a very valued listener. Maybe in the future, he'd call in. The number is 604-822-2487. That's 604-822-CITR. And, yeah, I just think that you all should come visit. It's a beautiful place here in Canada. Now, moving on to some a little sadder news, but even this news went so viral that a Canadian person actually told this about me, about my hometown. So last week, there was a story that went viral about 14 missing girls in D.C. in 24 hours. And while it was wildly inaccurate, what it did, it highlighted a real problem. And so the real problem is that there are a number of missing black and brown missing girls in Washington, D.C., and not only in Washington, D.C., but in a lot of metropolitan areas. And initially, when I saw the 14 in 24 hours, I just felt like that couldn't be true. I just felt like that it was too much to be true, even though we're starting to see videos and, like, surveillance videos coming out of real weird stuff. I think I saw a video of looked like a middle school age girl. She was walking, and this man is following her. And as she pulls out her cell phone, he immediately hits one of those, you know, cartoon L cuts, and he gets out of the way. So there's lots of videos like that popping up. And so we're seeing that these young women and young girls are at this severe risk of not only this predatory behavior, but risks of that nobody's looking for them, you know. And when I thought about the missing women, particularly in D.C., because I wanted to do some, I wanted to look into it, because that, you know, that is my hometown, is where I'm from, and so to look at what people feel, and particularly how the police response is to some of these things. It talked about how there's been over 370 incidents or called in runaways this year so far, and over 22 of all but 22 have been solved, and what labeled, I guess, as the ones that haven't been solved, none of them have been urgent. I guess these are girls or women that have repeatedly run away. So basically, if you run away more enough times, they stop looking for you. And I think it's really sad, the fact that clearly these girls, women are running away for a reason. Like, there's we don't ever stop. I feel like today we never really stop to look at maybe what's the impetus of some of these behaviors, as in poverty or crime or running away from home. Like, running away from home is not something, it's something that nobody wants to do. Listen, I have friends who are 26 and 27 and they still live at home with their folks. Whether it's because they want to save money or because they just like having food when they get home, because if you live like me, there's just no food. Like, I buy food for a few days and then it goes bad. But anyways, people like staying home, or people should like to be home, or should like have the option to be home, or have the option or the want to be home. And so even if it's really odd that most of these stories get labeled as runaways immediately, but I guess it's not odd because, I mean, we know that we know how these things. I don't really, we don't have to go into it about the racial classifications of and how people think about missing or children with behavioral issues. We don't have to get into that. But just the idea that nobody's looking for these girls, and like, that's probably what is the problem. Nobody cares, or nobody's showing some type of empathy for maybe the situation they're going to, or maybe some abuse or something. The police are not looking into this type of stuff. They're just, these people are repeated runaways, or these people have been sex trafficked, which is the second leading cause. So no one's really trying to figure out, what's the motivation for these missing girls, and why isn't anybody looking? And so it's kind of crazy that a story had to go viral for us to highlight a really bad problem. Like, it had to be 14-24, had to be a number so shocking to us that you wanted to look into it. And I feel like that sets a bad precedent, because it shows us how normalized we are to everyday. Like, if you say one girl is missing or two girls are missing, nobody even thinks about it. It's not even a thing. It's even in an era where it would be probably a lot easier to find a missing person now than it would have been before the internet era, before everyone had a smartphone and you could literally send out a picture of individuals to everybody's phone. They put U2's album on my phone and it's still on there, and every iPhone has it. And I don't think not one person listens to U2. Listen, if you put pictures of missing children on everybody's iPhone, we could probably solve some of those problems a little faster. Now, sticking into this internet age story, because what I haven't really noticed is that this is really an internet themed show. So this past week also, Congress decided to roll back some rules, and not only does it affect individuals in the United States, it really affects people here in Canada as well. So if you didn't know, these privacy laws were rolled back. And so what the protections protected United States citizens from internet service providers from selling or sharing subscribers' personal information with third parties. Now, what they could do before is they could sell the aggregate information. So what that means is they could sell information that, or maybe the websites that you visited, the things that you bought, the things that you clicked on, the videos you watched, they could sell all of that information, but they couldn't link it to a person. But now what has happened is that now that they can sell that information with your name, and so that they can, what this does is it allows advertisers and marketers and retailers and news media sites and everything, they can really target the information specifically to you, depending on what you search in your search box. So when you are on those websites that maybe 10 years ago you might have checked this month to find that tape, you might want to do that in private browsing, because the internet is going to sell you information. And it's in Canada, we don't have that. There isn't. So Canada normally follows United States law when it comes to when it comes to issues like this, such as internet privacy. However, Canada is not, says as of now, that they're not going to follow this precedent, you know, follow this precedent. But it just comes in an idea that we are getting into a society that is so transparent. I read this book by Dave Eggers called The Circle, and it has the idea about this transparency. So it was a really good book if you want to check it out. It's called The Circle. And not transparency in the sense that we can opt into being transparent, but the idea that we can never really opt out. If you've ever been to New York or to Washington, D.C., what you notice is the massive amount of not only red light cameras and speeding cameras and turning cameras, you'll see just the amount of surveillance cameras and closed circuit television cameras, and there's just cameras everywhere. So that I remember in high school, they thought I was going to get in trouble, but they could follow me through the entire school. And I feel like that, you know, they followed me through the entire school to see exactly where you went and to see whether you did what you say you did or you didn't do what you say or you didn't do it. And I feel like that's something that they can do now. Not only can they do that on, you know, outside with real cameras, but they can do it from sitting in your house. Like, they can see exactly where you, they could always see exactly where you go. But now, not only can the government see that, you know, through the Patriot Act, they can see these marketers. They can market directly to you. So if you like weird stuff, if you're into that, if you're into something that you potentially don't want anybody to know about, it won't save you, even if you delete your history, because not only if you hit P on your keyboard, you can start sweating, but if you go to any website that might have any advertisements, those advertisements will be linked to the things that you like. And so people don't have to hit P to make you nervous. They could go to East Bay and still see something that could potentially make you look crazy. When we get back, we're going to be talking about some things that I found interesting this week, like how I learned spiders could eat all humans in 1 year. And yesterday, an anaconda from the movie showed his face. Uh-oh. Having some technical difficulties as we give some leeway to our sponsors. So we're going to go into a song. Sometimes, you know, you always have to be prepared for every situation. And this is one of those where... you always have to be.
Serpent upon me, nothing but guts in my tummy, so I'm considering things I should never think about. Slippery slope.
back with Off the Beaten Path here on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. Somebody just came into the studio and scared me. So, as we were talking about earlier about boxing matches, some of my friends put in, so they said they'd like to see Elizabeth Warren versus Merkel. Also like to see Trump versus Merkel. I'd like to see, now I know this guy isn't a, he's not a politician, but I would like to see Bill O'Reilly, and I would like to see Maxine Waters, because I feel like Maxine Waters got something up her sleeve, maybe a switch or a belt, and she might change the game. Turn this into table, ladders, and chairs match. So, my friends, I also have someone call in and or someone write in and say that One Wish was only one of several Ray J hits, and I think that that is absolute BS because I never even heard of his album Radiation. It's probably trash. If you know who wrote that, that guy kind of looks like Ray J if he could grow some facial hair. So we're talking about how these spiders could consume all of the humans in a single year. And so, shocking fact, the world's spiders consume somewhere between 400 million and 800 million tons of prey in a given year. That means spiders could eat at least as much meat as all the 7 billion humans on the planet combined. 7 billion humans on the planet eat 400 million tons. And all of the spiders in the world eat more than that. And if you think about how much mass of individuals in the whole world is, there's about 350 million tons. So in an idea, in a world, spiders could eat all of us. And while I share lots of stories about humans endangering the planet and us killing off all of these endangered species and all of these beautiful, majestic animals. I think last week we talked about Eric Trump and Donald Trump Jr., how they go on these wild exotic safari missions and kill these exotic animals like elephants and cheetahs. We are seeing that animals are saying no, they are not having this anymore, and they will not take it. And so what we did see yesterday was a Filipino man or Indonesian man was eaten by a python, and the python had to be cut open so that they could get the man's body out, who was already dead. So sadly, the 25-year-old man who was working at a palm oil plantation in West Sulawesi was eaten by a python. Now, I have lots of questions, and while we give condolences to that man and his family, because what they lost is, their loss is 100% real and sad, I got lots of questions about this snake. One, how did a snake get that big that it could eat a full-size grown man? Two, when a snake eats a man like that, like when snakes eat other animals, the animals don't have clothes on, but like we have clothes on. So I wonder how, like, I was just curious in my own mind, like how does the digestive system work for some polyester? Very silly question about myself. But then three, it's just like nobody saw this man getting eaten by this big snake. Like nobody could stop it, nobody could fight it off. This man who I'm presuming was eaten head first, because I feel like if you were eaten feet first, you would know, holy smokes, I'm about to get eaten by a spider, and this spider is unlocking this, unhinging his jaws and just swallowing me whole. So you got to be eaten head first. And like, could you imagine when this guy woke up and he opens his eyes and he's like, yo, where am I at? This has got to be the worst dream ever. And to realize that, oh, nah, this isn't a dream. I'm actually in a spider's stomach. I mean, I'm in a Snake Stomach, and it's a wrap for me. If you want to know more about this python, it's called a reticulated python, and it is only found in, I guess the largest one in captivity is 7.6 meters in Kansas City. So how can we figure out how to get that snake into the Senate? I feel like there's some people, like whenever you hear about these animals attacking and hurting people, like the last time an animal killed somebody who we knew, I felt like that was Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter. And that guy respected animals. You know, he respected all types of animals. And that stingray got him right through the heart. Rest in peace. However, how come these animals don't kill anybody that like, how come it's never on a safari and you're like, hey, man, you know, the Jimmy John's guy didn't make it out. He got eaten by a python. You know, how that's how we know that the hunters is not fair. You know, when they go hunting for these animals, because no way I feel like a cheetah sees Eric Trump or Donald Trump Jr. and be like, you know what? I think I can get that guy. You know, we have to find a way to make this a little equal, to make the fight fair. I'm fighting for equality for exotic animals. Listen, and we're seeing that nature is not going to take our shit forever. And eventually they're going to bounce back. But if you don't want to see one of these reticulated pythons and you don't want to go to Kansas City, stay out of sub-Saharan Africa, Australia, Nepal, India, Sri Lanka, Burma, is it Myanmar, China, and the whole subcontinent of Southeast Asia, because you have the potential to get eaten by a snake as well. So the next time you go to Bali and you want to take one of those cool Instagram pictures and you think that, you know, life's sweet and you feed these monkeys, just know that there could be a snake that pops up and gets you. This week. So I'll link to the story, you know, in the description of the show this week. If you haven't heard of Uber Bay, see, like, I think that Twitter provides some of the best stories. Yo, there are some storytellers on Twitter who are amazing, who can keep each tweet within 140 characters, and they can tell a story. Like, they can set you up. They can hit you with the climax, the pivot, the plot twist, all through the tweets. And so all you have to do is read. So a few days ago, on the 28th, a story was released. Miss Alexa, I guess it's M-S-I-X-E-L-A-A. The story is called Uber Bay. So this woman drives for Uber. And so her boyfriend was going to New York City to go see his sick mother, what he said to her. And so they left in the morning. He packed his bags. Listen, this dude went all out. He packed his bags. He got in the car, pretended he was driving to the airport. He probably hit the U-turn, probably like, I wonder if he got something to eat first. He probably went to McDonald's, because I feel like that's what dudes like that eat. Like, he went to McDonald's and was like, you know, he probably got himself a McChicken, because he probably didn't order a meal, because what's the point? He knew he was going home anyways. So he probably just got a McChicken, maybe a McFlurry. He's like, you know, I'm going to have a good day. Like, this is about to be lit. So he turns back home, and his girlfriend goes to work. And so I don't know if she works for Uber full time, but she works for Uber sometimes, and apparently at the right times. So she picks up this girl from the airport and dropping this girl off for her vacation, because she had all of her vacation stuff. And so as she's driving, she says that the girl, she lets her even use the aux cord. You know, they're listening to love songs, talking about the weekend she's going to have, how it's going to be fire. And then so the Uber driver, she's driving her to she pulls up at her boyfriend's apartment complex. And then as the woman is telling her the address, she's driving slow and, like, thinking in her head, like, holy smokes, this is my man's address. pulls up. Her man comes out. And so, of course, she starts to spazzing. And the girl in the back seat, she has no idea what's going on. And they all get to fight. And I think this is a moral. You'll have to read the story because the story is too entertaining because I feel there was a story a few years ago. Almost. This doesn't live up to that, but could you imagine thinking that, like, could you imagine having this elaborate plan thought out in your head? You're like, oh, I'm going to tell my girlfriend I'm going to New York. You know what I'm saying? She's not going to be looking for me all weekend. I mean, she's not going to be calling me. She's not going to come and by. She's not going to, listen, we're going to have it good. Well, you know, she probably live on the east side and I live on the west side. So, we're going to have a good weekend. Everything, like, you're like, oh, you texting your side joint. She kids on the plane. She's in the Uber, you know what I'm saying? Probably texting like, ooh, I'll be there in a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You ready. You so ready. You probably got the drinks poured up. You probably got the hand out. You know what I'm saying? You just ready to get it in. And then your Ubering, drivering girlfriend pulls up and the girl is in the back and you're like, wow, I shouldn't have been so cheap. That's the first thing I would have thought. I'm like, man, I should have just picked her up from the airport, my damn self. Now, if you are a man and you know your girlfriend drives Uber, I feel like, yo, it's your responsibility to know that this is a potential, like, this has the potential to happen all the time. Like, if you have a side chick and your girlfriend drives Uber, you have to know that sometimes she probably got Uber on in your neighborhood. Or maybe she's driving someplace in your neighborhood because, face it, you probably live pretty close. And you never thought that this might happen just once. I'm the type of person who I like to pay attention to the details and I like to make sure that something like this would never, ever happen. So I guess moral of the story, if you got a side chick coming into town, go pick her from the airport yourself and don't rely on funky Uber driver because you don't know if it could be your girlfriend or one of her friends or maybe some hating dude who's trying to dirty Mac on your girlfriend. And when he drops your joint off, he's going straight to your girlfriend's house and telling her, yo, this is exactly what happened, because we know all these dirty Macs really be living out here doing dirty Mac and kind of things. So that's the show for today. Thank you for tuning in Off the Beaten Path. And thank you for all of your fundraising efforts and all of your donations for the fund drive last week and the week before that. They're really much appreciated. You know, the donations really give us here at CITR the idea and the ability to produce content that the people need to hear. You know, so you're funding the revolution when you fund CITR. So, have a good week. Have a good weekend. And tune in next Tuesday from 9 to 11 to Crimes and Treasons here on 101.9. Or you can tune in at CITR.ca. And catch me next Thursday at 7 a.m. 7 a.m. We do this every Thursday. See ya.
LGBTQ2I Night is a positive space for folks to learn about bike maintenance in a relaxed environment led by queer mechanics and volunteers. It takes place on the fourth Wednesday of every month at the Bike Kitchen on UBC's campus. Bring your own bike and fix them with our tools, come with questions and ask away, or learn by watching other folks work on their bikes. Beginners are always welcome. This event is entirely free to attend and there will be free pizza. For more information, visit bikecoop.ca.